and welcome to the Destiny Prague podcast. Our heart is to see people empowered by the love of Jesus and activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is still relevant today, and we trust that this message will bless you, challenge you, and fill your heart and mind with the truth of who God is and who you are in Christ. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we want to journey a road of discipleship with you as you discover who He has called you to be. If you'd like to connect with us, check out our website at destinychurch.cz. Let's go.
Good morning. How are you doing? Oh, thank you, Dilla. It's kind of rhetorical, you know. We'll not have a chat here. Just anyway, great to see you all in the room. Great to see you all online. And it's great to be back with the family here in Prague. I heard you've had a great couple of days. Some of you guys at the conference here. And are you ready for God's Word? Thank you. Father, we thank you for these moments where you just love to speak to us and encourage us and bring the lights on. And so, God, we just prepare ourselves to hear from you today. Father, we know that one encounter with you, one word from you, one God moment can change everything. So, Father, in the way that we know that was God, speak to us all today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Bring greetings to you from all the other locations as well. Lots of good things happening today. And we're one big team and family here in the region in five locations, Prague, Ansbach, Fürth, Munich, and Rosenheim. That is five, isn't it? I think so. And I'm so appreciative of a great team. And today there's a bit of a physical church really helping people, really engaging with those in need. We as a family of church, up a partnership here and there, but we really want to make that a big core of all that we are, and finding our feet, already bringing things into play. And one of the things that we've been involved with the locations there has been Christmas in a Shoebox, an internationally known project, the Samaritan's Purse. And so she went to one of the local shoe shops and said, "Hey, I need some shoe boxes. I want to give you 200 pairs of children's shoes, brand new, to the value of 10,000 euros. So it's amazing, isn't it? And then I heard last week somebody else in the church sourced another 150 pairs of shoes. So we've got children around this world who are going to be really fitted out with shoes. Just as well it wasn't socks, really. You know, it's like the staple man Christmas present, isn't it? You know, oh, what could it be? Squidgy, you open it, go, oh, yeah, socks. So, Christmas is coming. There's a good idea for you all if you're wondering what to get your dad. Socks is probably a good bet. But all that to say, there's good things happening. And so she's with Pastor Daniel McGuire, who you know well here, this morning, and Raphael, who some of you know, is picking up things in Rosenheim this morning as well. So we're a team together, amen? Yeah. I honor the team here in Prague. What a wonderful, wonderful bunch you are. Love working with these guys. Absolutely great to see all that God is doing. We're going to continue part two of a message that began 3 weeks ago. And so if you want to get part one, it is on the live stream. It is on YouTube. I had a look at myself. I did. The camera adds so many pounds, doesn't it? Adri, go to the naughty step. Out there, bye-bye. You can think it, but you don't. What is it between you guys this morning here in the front? Kind of getting feedback here. There's a tag team going on here to give. We're going to give Liam some feedback. But we were talking about thriving by valuing. It's a big thing these days. Many of you work for corporate companies, and we kind of touched on a lot of that the last time, that you will have your values. Go to a website, what are our values? What's your values? And we can all say we have certain values. And we can all sometimes, let's be honest, there's people in the world who virtue signal by saying, I have these values. But the truth is, your values will show themselves at points of testing. It will show itself when you really need to either put up or shut up as to whether that really is important for you or not. It's no point saying going to church is a value I carry, then you're there every 6 weeks. You know, that kind of doesn't really show. Or there's other values which will show up as to whether they truly are what you value at points of testing. And the values we carry are like filters through which we make decisions. They become points of reference for us and guiding points for us on our journey. And we dived into the story of Daniel. And I want to just read verses 1 to 7 of chapter 1 again, just to position us. And then we're going to go into part 2 of this work. So just positioning ourselves afresh here in the story of Daniel. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they're well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were 4 of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar, Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, and Azariah was called Abednego. So this was where we positioned ourselves last time, and we said there were certain values we should have in our lives. Go back and listen to the first message of this, but we said first value to carry is value God-designed geography. These verses that Daniel and his friends were positioned in Babylon by God. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't something which was, oh no, the poor guys have been landed a bad hand here. But God actually said, I'm going to position you there. Where you are matters. And as somebody once said to me, Liam, wherever you are, be all there. I know Prague is a very transient city. I know it's famous for its kind of expat, or it's famous for its transience of international community. The truth is, if this is home for you just now, if it's studying, if it's a 3-year contract, whatever it is, be all here. Don't be away in your mind. Well, home somewhere else. No, home is here. God has you here and has positioned you where he's positioned you for a purpose. Value geography in your journey with God. Secondly, we said value being prophetically correct, not politically correct. And the whole story of Daniel is full of moments of testing. What will you stand for? How will you live? He was told you're not allowed to pray, you're not allowed to read your Bible, you're not allowed to worship your God. And we said last time, many of you can go, amen, every Monday morning, I walk into the corporate company I work for, and I'm faced with not allowed to's because I need to be politically correct. Or in our lives, in other areas, friendship circles, family circles, it's a big challenge for us all, isn't it? To navigate these waters. But if we have to be like a Daniel, God's people doing life in Babylon, the picture that the Bible gives us of the world and society in which we live, we are, as he writes to the Romans, not to be conformed to the world around us, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, you will, as a Christian, see things, think things, value things, process things differently. Make friends with being different. Embrace it. Stay true to God. You might stick out like a sore thumb amongst your friendship circle. But it's called the cost of being a Christian. And God backed him up, didn't he? God will back you and me up. Do we need to show wisdom? Do we need to show ability to be, as Jesus said, as innocent as a dove and wise as a serpent? Sure do. We don't go around, you know, preaching hellfire and brimstone Monday morning in the boardroom. We've got to find ways of bringing our faith into things and seek God for his wisdom and how to do all of that. But there needs to be a decision on the inside, a value that we carry. I can't be bought by the popular vote. And Daniel was a guy who wasn't either. Daniel would have been very popular. To cut to the chase, the Bible's pretty clear. He was good looking. He was a smart guy. He would have had everything at his fingertips by way of relational opportunity. But in the middle of undoubted choices, he chose God at every turn. A point that we didn't bring out last time, I want to mention this time before we move into some new areas, is that he was trained by the king with the specific purpose, it tells us, of, after 3 years, serving in the palace, serving the king's purpose. He was being trained by the world to serve its purposes. But God used that training to serve his purposes. He was trained in the language so that he could serve the king's purpose. But God says, well, now you've been trained by the world in speaking this language, how about interpreting a few dreams? How about using the fact you can communicate to serve my purpose? I remember a few years ago now, in one of the churches I was involved in, there was a lady who was a purser with British Airways on long-haul flights. I've always found that a funny name, really. I don't know what the word purser means. Maybe someone can tell me after. After you two. But that's the kind of chief air stewardess or flight attendant, isn't it? They're in charge. So if anyone was trained by one of the top airlines in the world, at least at that time, I don't know if they still are, to how to steward, how to deal with people, how to show them to a seat, how to maybe deal with the odd awkward character in the room. She was. So I said, you know, all that training you've had professionally by British Airways, how to prepare the plane, how to make it a place that you come on board and you just go, yeah, like Donovan. Donovan comes on a plane now and turns left. Isn't that nice? Well, he wishes he did. I remember a little side trail there. I remember I booked my seat and didn't really know where it was, but I knew, okay, I booked the seat. I got on the plane and I've always thought, yeah, you turn left for business class and first class. And I turned right and the seats when I turned right were really nice. And I thought, whoa, this is not bad at all. And I thought, great, look at these seats. This is fantastic. If this is economy, going to America, this is awesome. I kept walking. Where's my seat? Row 34. 12, 13, 14. And then eventually I get beyond those seats and I discover, actually, I'd walked into the middle of business class and it was in the middle, so turning right. So my whole experience of finding my seat just went, wah, wah, wah. It was like a disappointing journey down that aisle. But this lady was trained in all of these aspects. And I said to her, would you lead our stewarding team in the church? All that training. We don't need to reinvent the wheel here. Come on, let's make church the best experience of people walking in and being seated and all those kind of stuff. No, 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 she says, I've got enough of that professionally. I want to do anything but that when it comes to church. I was like, but all the training, all the training in the king's palace, God can use that in the house. No, no, believe me, anything but. And I thought, but all the management training, all the no, no, believe me, anything but. When I come to church, I want to leave. I was like, don't you think maybe all the nothing to do with that? I'll just leave that lying up there. And maybe you're going to speak to us at the end and go, I hear you, I'm in, I'm going to lead this team or that team? What's the point of being a sound guy with one of the biggest rock bands and then not being the sound guy in church? I mean, anyway, I've said it. As part of being politically, not being politically correct and being prophetically correct, we see other ways in which Daniel communicated on his journey there in Babylon. First of all, he used his ability to speak to the now, to speak to the now. It tells us that in Daniel 2 verse 1, it says, now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. So here's a guy who's troubled. Do you know anyone in your world that's troubled? Do you have any work colleagues that are freaking out with everything they're seeing on the television? What's going to happen in the world? It's Armageddon. What's going to happen with the economy? Oh, I hear the COVID numbers are going up. Fear, trouble. They look at the education of their children. What will my kid learn? What world are they growing up in? There's many of you. They don't have a biblical filter. And you see, even that was tested amongst Christians in these last few years. I believe the Bible, amen. I believe God's in control, amen. Hallelujah. Then COVID came. Freak out. They threw every conceivable possible biblical view out of the window. Fear took over. God's not running the world anymore. God's not in charge anymore. And they left a biblical view of things. When I came and approached, I said, yeah, look, the Bible says this kind of stuff's going to happen. And it's all part of what the Bible says is called birth pangs. Any women in the church giving birth? Yes. I've been there as well, brother. And you're not allowed to say it's sore in that moment because in comparison, I think it's nothing, but it really hurts, particularly when your wedding ring's still on. Digs right into that knuckle. But there's many people troubled. And Daniel spoke to that because he came and said in Daniel 2:30, as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than in any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. So God has allowed him to be trained in the language and the culture. He was able to connect and was able to say, I know you're troubled. Let me help you understand what's going on just now. These things are birth pangs. There's a bigger purpose at work. This world's on a bigger trajectory than only tomorrow. At work, God's taking us somewhere. I have joy in my heart that we're going to come through all of this because I know where I'm heading. I know that at the end of the day, there's a new earth. Actually, on the horizon is something completely new. Where's your life view? Where's your world view? Jesus in Matthew 6 spoke first of all about the heart and the eyes before he came to the famous verse of Matthew 6:33 and said, seek first the kingdom. He spoke about the heart. If you internally value things wrongly, you will live wrongly. If you, with the eyes, see life wrongly, filter things wrongly, view things wrongly, you will live wrongly. Because as a person is on the inside, that's how we live. And Jesus challenged the internal valuing, viewing system of people and said, Seek first the kingdom. Don't be caught up with these other things. And when you seek first his kingdom, his way of life, his view, his values, everything you need in life will be given to you anyway. Are you giving your life for the right cause? Jesus did say he'd come for a cause. And many people are caught up with the wrong cause and get very troubled. And Daniel was able to come and say, let me help you. A quick Google, where the world goes, says that people are concerned about change, about loneliness, about failure, about rejection, about uncertainty of the world, of future and life, about something bad happening, worried about getting hurt. A book I read recently is called Meet Generation Z. Generation Z is the kind of mid-teens upwards type grouping. And this book was saying that some of the questions they ask are simple things like, how do I pray? It says they've got access to more information than any other generation has ever grown up with, but have zero wisdom of how to do life. So in this Babylon that you and I are in, we need to help people understand the now, navigating the waters of now. Secondly, he spoke salvation. Daniel 4:27, therefore, may and my advice be pleasing to you, break away now from your sins by doing righteousness and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Even the fact he brings into his communication, you need to deal with the sin in your life. You need a salvation. We can get so caught up in trying to be clever answers to the here and now that we forget to bring to people all of these issues, maybe real life issues, but at the end of the day, you could solve every single one of them and try to cause fight on every single one of them. But where at the end of the day is your soul going? A few years ago, many years ago, I had a job. I got sacked from the job because I had been falsely described as being good at it by somebody else. This was in darkest Bavaria. I was needing a summer job to learn my German. So a lady who I knew told a local hotel that she knew someone who was a good waiter, because the summer before, I had done the similar thing in another part of Germany and served drinks in a restaurant. They thought they were getting a Oktoberfest experienced waiter. They were getting Liam. Oh, yes. Liam shows up, and one quick look went, uh-uh. So they let me serve beer for one night at this beer festival thing, and then they said, here's 50 Deutschmarks, I think it was back then. Thanks, but there's no need to come back tomorrow. Now, I'd signed up for the summer. I was now day one jobless. So the lady again took pity on me and again did a terrible job at HR. She could never work for a recruitment company, that's for sure, because she then went and told this other guy who lived locally who did kind of handiwork around people's homes. My friends, whenever you need something done around the house and you say, can we get a few friends over to help, please allow me to be the guy that says, does anyone want a coffee? Does anyone want McDonald's? I'll go and run and get all this stuff. Do not put a paintbrush in my hand. I'm not that guy. It skipped a generation in my life. My dad was in the building industry. He was a quantity surveyor. My grandfather, one of them was a joiner. One of them was a blacksmith. And my father-in-law was a joiner as well. I only hope to goodness that my son Dylan has kind of inherited something from them, because it's gone round me, over me. It didn't land in me, none of this. Where was I going? Yes. Anyway, the next job, she goes, Liam will help you. So Liam goes and helps him as he's doing some handiwork at someone's home. And he says, right, Liam, what I want you to do is paint such this wall. I'm going off to do work on another job. I'm going to leave you here. Okay, you got it. I've got it. Right. I do a great job all day. He comes back at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. How did you get on? I says, great. Come upstairs. I'll show you. Come upstairs. Showed him. I said, what do you think? He goes, it looks great. You painted the wrong wall. What? Sorry? It looks brilliant. It's the wrong wall. You should have done this one. And there's many people going to get to the end of their life. And they're going to die and they're going to stand before God. And God's going to go, how did you get on? I did brilliant. Yeah, I came up with the answer for this, that, and the next thing. I fought for this cause. I sorted that politician out. I got this all sorted. And tell you what, God, I can tell you all about the dinosaurs. I know everything that happened. I've got this sorted. Here's my theory. Fantastic. Well done. But you've answered all the wrong questions. Why? Come on, that's brilliant, isn't it? I did great stuff for humanity. Yeah, but what did you do with the question that was posed by Pontius Pilate? What shall we do with the man Jesus Christ? And the question that was asked to Peter, who am I to you? See, many people are going to die and they're going to go, look at my wall, and God's going to go, brilliant, great causes, fantastic, wrong wall, wrong question. The soul needs to have salvation message spoken. Don't get sucked into just trying to have great answers for the here and now. We need to introduce into our narrative, into our communication in the worlds in which we find ourselves. Have you thought about eternity? Have you thought about the renew? Also spoke prophetically. It's the way to something else. It doesn't just challenge the status quo. It says, there is another way. They essentially communicated, go God's way. And if you've gone away from God, come back to God's way. It's pretty much the summary of most of the prophetic books of the Bible. You're not going God's way. Go God's way. Get back on track with God's way. This is God's way. And Daniel said in one place to the king, he says, my Lord, when he was speaking to him about a dream, if only the dream applied to those who hate you and its interpretation to your adversaries. But actually, the dream he was talking about, he said, look, this actually applies to you. You need to bring some change here. He got a bit up close and personal with challenge. He said, you're off God's way here, man. Oh, challenging. And then in John 6:60-61, many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, does this offend you? Ooh, I'm sorry. Did I upset your rose-tinted spectacle view that Jesus would just tell you everything you wanted to hear and tickle your ears, as it says in Timothy? Counterculture teaching of Christ offend you? See, that's prophetic, the kind of moment. And then in John 6:66-69, it goes on and says, at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and said, are you also going to leave? And then he said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. Being prophetic sometimes means being challenging, but points the way to the words of life. Are you open for that personally? See, we all say I have a value of being biblical, but when the Bible speaks something to us we don't like, sometimes our response is to try to fabricate a theology to somehow explain it away, which is often just rooted in a deep down desire to be left alone to live life as I want to live it. But at the same time, I keep coming out with the same stuff of, I want to be biblical. Are we still friends here? Does this affect? No. He spoke of the kingdom in eternity. Daniel 2:44, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. It will crush and put an end to all other kingdoms, but it itself will endure forever. Jesus so often kept pointing people to the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom of God. He opened up by so many of his parables by saying, well, the kingdom of God is like. And we need to help people understand life through the lens of the kingdom of God. Today we don't have enough time to explore all of that topic, but in season one of something we offer at Destiny called Master's Class, I did a whole six-month teaching, really, one Saturday per month, on the kingdom. It was all season one, just like these will be made available, I'm not too sure when, but if that interests you, why don't you let us know and we'll update you when it becomes available to be watched as an online learning. It's a whole series and teaching on that topic where we dig right deep down into it, the kingdom of God. And but it's by design. And then we read later in Daniel 2 that Daniel is promoted. And I want to read that quickly. It says, the king answered Daniel and said, surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, since you've been able to reveal this mystery. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all of the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel made request of the king, Meshach and Abednego, over the administration of the province of Babylon while Daniel was at the king's court. So the first thing Daniel did was, hey, if I'm making a move to a new department, I want my friends with me. He had a value of, I need those guys. And the Bible makes it clear we need to value God-given relationship and friendship in our life. Those three friends had names of meaning. Means the Lord shows grace. The Babylonian name he was changed to was that of Shadrach, which means the command of Aku, who was a moon god, whatever that is. Then we have a guy called Mishael, the meaning of which is who is what God is. Babylonian name change of Meshach means who is what Aku is. So the same God that we just referenced, command of Aku, who is what Aku is. And then the third name is Azariah, meaning the Lord helps. Abednego means servant of Negu or Nebu. So in other words, all these names were changed, but can we just focus in, just as we land our plane today, on the three friends that God gave him with him. He's in this Babylon place. He's in this place of temptation. He's in this place of challenge. He's in this world that we've been describing. He's in this place of values being tested. And he looks around him, and who does he see with him positioned? Three friends. One, the Lord shows grace. Hananiah. Every time he looks at his mate on a Monday, every time he sees his friend, Hananiah, he's reminded, shouting out to him, God's got grace for you. The God of grace is with you. Paul says God's grace was sufficient for him. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I'm reminded every day, I'm not in this big wide world of all the stuff we've been describing alone. I have friends who remind me God's grace is there for you and with you. You need people in your life who remind you of the gracing of God towards you. Do you have them? If you cut yourself off from relationship and friendship, I'm too busy. I'll get to church every so often. I won't bother coming to small group. I'll just come, sit, listen, and go away. You're missing out on the richness of relationships God's given you. The second name, Mishael. Who is what God is? How many of us on our journey are tempted to go off track? Because somewhere, somehow, something has been offered to us that looks so attractive through worldly value eyes, and we need friends to go, are you about to step away from the place where God's positioned you, planted you? Are you about to step away from the place he says his purposes are there for you, and you're going to sell yourself for that? Yes, it looks fantastic through worldly values, but you need a friend that comes and prophetically challenges you and says, hey, sunshine, who is what God is? What can this other God, Aku, offer you? The God of glory cannot give you an even more. You need a voice in your life that doesn't let you go la, 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 but comes along and challenges you sometimes. Says, sister, I love you, brother, I love you enough. Are you living for the purposes of God? Are you getting swallowed up in the, somehow, the Bible, sometimes the Bible says this, the deceitfulness of wealth. Is money good? Yes. Are we taking a special offering in Germany right now for the Lover City project? We sure are. Because anything that's living, anything that's growing, anything that's developing, anything that's going somewhere costs. Just ask me. I've got two growing kids. If they stop growing, they need no new clothes. You just keep using the same ones. But guess what? They grow. Every 2 minutes, my daughter, my 16-year-old, I'm going shopping, Dad. Oh, really? Yeah, I'm learning. But honestly, guys, the deceitfulness of wealth, the Bible says. It promises stuff it can't deliver. It promises satisfaction. It promises security. It can't deliver on its promises. But we need people in our life that say, who is what God is? Philippians 3:12, I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Guys, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching with you. It's not always about a wrong decision, who is what God is. It's not always about that. It's about challenging me for settling for anything less than God has for me. I was saying to someone the other day, don't be a reductionist. I don't know if it's even a word, but it's a word now. And the reason I'm saying that to this person was because they kept reducing things down to, well, I think I can manage this. But they were taken out of the equation. If we lean into God to lay hold of what God has for us, 99% of the time, we can't do it alone anyway. But he had a friend called Mishael who challenged him in that way. And then the third friend was a friend called Azariah. And his name means the Lord helps. When we feel the battles are just too much, we need friends around us who remind us God's there to help you. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Deuteronomy 3:22, do not fear them, for the Lord your God is the one fighting for you. Just need those friends in your life. But the principle is, Daniel got promoted and he was, in his mind, about to maybe have less connection with those people God had specifically put into Babylon with him. See the wonderful resourcing of God, specific relationships you need. We need to value the God-given relationships. Some relationships, put them away cheaply. When you're in the right place with the right people, stuff happens. In one place, Paul said he wanted to go to Troas town. He said, but I didn't have any peace in my spirit because I couldn't find Mark. He's like, because the place is right, but I need that relationship. And I don't want to go without him. Moses needed Joshua. Without Joshua down the mountain, him being up the mountain didn't do anything. But Joshua needed Moses. before we make decisions, let's put it through these godly values. God, I value where I am, where you position me. God-honoring and biblical in every season. God, I want to value the relationships you've placed in my life. The spiritual, maybe to be part of. I became Prime Minister of the nation under 6 different kings. It wasn't an either or. Well, his career or God, or his career or fulfilling the purposes. Here's a guy who simply by being consistent with his values, and value what valued, came through in every area that God wanted for him. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus Christ.